You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Hey, y'all, welcome. You are watching and listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. And hey, you know, things take much longer than you ever expected them to. But when they finally occur, they happen much faster than you ever thought possible. Somebody that told me that back in 2011. And hey, we've been in that phase of things taking way longer than you ever expected possible. We're going to get Craig Hemke's view on that. And you find him over, of course, at tfmetalsreport.com. And send me your emails at kl@carrielutz.com. I want to know how patient are you? Because I know that this person, Craig Hemke, is a running out of patience, maybe, or at least his patience is being tried, as they say.
That's probably a good way to put it. Oh, my gosh. What a year we're having, Carrie. Hey, at least if anything, we've set the bar pretty low in the first half. So maybe we'll have a better second half.
Yeah, we can only hope. Well, a number of cycle guys who I follow, guys like Eric Haddock and others, Eric specifically said we would hit an intermediate high in May and June in gold, and then it would back off, and we'd see where it went from there. And true to form, Eric is often right. It's exactly what's happened, isn't it?
Tell me he likes things more in the second half of the year, would you? I'm dying for anything to hang my hat on.
Very non-committal about it. But like I said, he said this was an intermediate high. He said it's going to muddle along for a while. But let's not forget, we're still hitting a potentially seasonal positive, what's become seasonally positive over the past 4 or 5 years, this July-August time period. So I'm not willing to cash in my chips quite yet, but we wanted to get your take on it.
Yeah. You know, it's been, let me just put it this way. I know we spoke back in January. My last couple of years of annual forecast been pretty solid. And we figured that, you know, this year would get off to a reasonably good start. It didn't. And it started first couple of days were pretty good. And then it's been nothing but straight down. We finally broke out of that kind of what a technician would call a bull flag, a consolidation back in what, May, pulled back. What's funny is pulled back and tested that line. At least there's a lot of technicians that draw it with these lows over these last 2 or 3 weeks. Now you just wonder where we go from here. I tell you what though, Kerry, what's aggravating, what's bewildering in a sense though, too, is there are so many traditional positives for gold that are having no impact. You know, when we spoke in January and I talked about gold with a target at some point this year of $2,300, I had solid reasoning for that. And one of them, from just a fundamental basis, was plunging real interest rates, you know, where you take the nominal rate, what you're getting in interest payments, and you subtract the inflation rate. If you get a negative number, that's a negative real rate. That means you are guaranteeing yourself a loss of purchasing power over the life of that bond. And we figured the Fed would go for that. They were talking last year about trying to, you know, get inflation expectation higher and letting it run hotter, as they said. And then we knew, though, they couldn't let long-term rates go up. So we figured there'd be some form of yield curve control, which would then drive these real interest rates negative. Last August, for example, Kerry, the yield on the U.S. 10-year note got to like 60 basis points, 0.6%. Inflation was measured at 1.6%. That's a negative one. And gold rallied all the way to $2,100. And then as bonds sold off and rates went up in the first quarter of this year, we had inflation at 1.5 and bonds at 1.5, back to zero, and gold went down. Okay, fine. Everything's, you know, just dandy. That's how it's supposed to work, I guess. But now in the last 3 or 4 months, rates have fallen again. Inflation, as everybody knows, has skyrocketed. We're now at 1.3% on the 10-year note. Inflation's at 5. That's minus 3.7. If we'd gone back to January, Kerry, this is how dead wrong you can be predicting metals sometimes. We'd gone back to January in our call and you said, well, Craig, I really like your reasoning here. It looks good. I think you're going to, you know, it's all pretty sound stuff. But hey, I just got out of my little wormhole and on July the 7th or 8th, real rates are going to be negative 3.5%. I think I'd have gone, oh man, I didn't set my target high enough for gold.
Yeah, I guess you should have bought a house, Craig.
Jeez.
You should have bought a house.
Right, exactly. What am I best around with this gold stuff for? I should have just, yeah. No, I tell you. So anyway, it's maddening in that regard. At the end of the day, what it is, it's all this transitory crap. And, you know, I mentioned yield curve control, and there are stages of yield curve control, and we're still in the first phase where the Fed is trying to jawbone yield curve control. And what I mean by that, that's what transitory is. You know, the Fed has convinced, in fact, all of the major institutional investors, hedge funds, other governments, other central banks, that this inflation we're seeing is temporary, transitory. And so therefore, why not buy bonds at 1.3 or 1.5%? Because inflation's not going to stay at 5, and you're not really guaranteeing yourself a 3% loss of purchasing power every year. Oh, don't worry about it. It's transitory. Inflation's going to come back down under 2, and so all is well. And so they've convinced the bond market to keep buying bonds and keep rates down through this jawboning, but they've also convinced gold to go down because that's another piece of the puzzle. Because you could say transitory all you want, but if gold was $2,500 an ounce right now, which it could be expected to be with real rates where they are, if it was, nobody would be going like, wait a second, you got the bond market over here, but gold's $2,500. That's telling you inflation expectations are soaring. So which is it? So jawboning has impacted gold the way they want it to go too. And what, you know, at the end of the day, we'll just see if this is transitory or not. I don't think it is. You probably don't think it is. But for now, everybody that has, you know, the big money is convinced that the Fed is telling you what's what.
Hey, you know what they say, Craig? The best things in life are transitory.
Like your honeymoon.
Yeah, the honeymoon. Nothing more transitory than a honeymoon. That's
right.
In fact, it's so transitory, sometimes it's over before it even starts.
Right.
Hey, well, but in all seriousness, you know, the dollar is up. Look, when we saw them doing all this helicopter money, printing up unprecedented sums, and it wasn't getting sterilized, meaning they weren't depositing it as excess reserves with the Fed to get their 50 basis point guaranteed risk-free return, you knew, absolutely knew, beyond a certainty, that inflation was going to rear its ugly head, even worse than it already was. And we could argue about the actual inflation numbers, Craig, all day long, about how it's understated, this and that. I mean, look at just the price of gasoline, but that evidently that's transitory too.
Right.
$77 a barrel. By some accounts, it's going over 100. And well, maybe everybody's going to be broke after the stimmy money runs out. And then we're going to have a massive deflationary backlash, if you will. I mean, it almost seems to be saying that. If you see these, the rates drop below, the 10-year drop below 1%, what are you going to say then?
Right. Well, there's two things there, Kerry. One, the dollar index is, I think, one of the biggest, I don't know, scam creations of the bankers and the financial industry that's out there, because you see the headline, oh, the dollar is stronger. I mean, you mentioned it yourself a second ago. I say it all the time. Well, the dollar's up today. Well, what's it up against? Everybody's always citing the dollar index. Well, what's the dollar index? You're comparing the dollar to all this other similarly worthless fiat, mainly the euro, but also the pound and, the yen, yuan, the Canadian dollar, the Australian dollar, whatever. And so on a relative basis, if the dollar is being devalued and printed to nothing at the same rate as all those other fiat are being printed and devalued to nothing, then relative to each other, nothing changes. And so a lot of times the dollar's only going up because the euro's having a bad day.
But, oh, the dollar is stronger.
Oh, gosh. So that's one of the first scams. I mean, that's a big one that nobody ever talks about. Anyway, getting back to what's currently impacting gold, and now you're seeing this in the stock market, too. You know, this reverse repo thing that is kind of flying under the radar, where banks and money market funds and the rest were chased, had so much cash and so many reserves that they were crowding out. I mean, it was like there was way more demand for short-term stuff than there was short-term stuff to put it in. And back in May and into early June, the Treasury Department actually ran four auctions of four-week, 28-day T-bills that printed at 0.00%. Okay, so there's all this cash that was very close to pushing short rates in the U.S. negative. Okay, because, again, I mean, there are negative rates all over Europe because there's more cash in demand than there are supply of paper. We're already seeing record low yields and high yield bonds and stuff. Yeah, it's all part of this Treasury rally back to 1.3%. There's so much cash, it's got to go somewhere. Bid, 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 bid. Higher bond prices, lower yields. So the Fed was getting all this cash overnight, suddenly up to $300 billion, $400 billion, $500 billion a day, just looking to be parked anywhere at 0% because there's all this demand. And the Fed was fearful of all of a sudden negative rates. So in that FOMC meeting, which was 3 weeks ago, they started paying out a whopping 5 basis points, 0.05% in an overnight rate. And all of that cash in these reserves that was looking for something, you know, willing to take zero, all of a sudden is like 5 basis points is infinitely better than zero. And so all and that repo demand went to $700 billion the next day, this overnight stuff, $800 billion. At the end of the quarter, last week on June the 30th, where you always get some window dressing, it was almost $1 trillion. There's forecast it might go to $2 trillion before too long because the Fed is still cranking out $120 billion in QE every month. So anyway, long story short, this is what is impacting us in the short term. You got this transitory stuff where everybody thinks, real rates are 3.5%, but they're not going to stay here for very long. And then now you've got this kind of liquidity sapping deal. I mean, that $1 trillion, or not, you know, $800 billion every day could be out there sloshing around, you know, getting loans and multiplied, you know, at the bank level, or at least going into the equity markets or gold or whatever. When it says tied up, it's being sterilized, is that word you used earlier. And that number may be going up. And so that's some liquidity tightening that maybe the Fed, you know, it's kind of intended consequence of trying to make sure we don't go to negative yields in the short end. And so now all of a sudden, I mean, I don't know what the stock market is right now, but at one point it was down 500 points today. You're getting this general liquidation. All commodities were down. Even when the dollar was down, everything was just being sold. That's going to be really interesting to see. You know, a lot of people worried about it, you know, the stock market pulling back sharply. We may be getting the first signs of that, and it all traces back to, you know, 3 weeks ago and what the Fed did.
And then you can always count on the Fed when the market's going down to panic.
Right. Really, right.
Floodgates. I got a question for you, Craig.
Lay it on me.
What is more stable, the U.S. economy or the foundations of Miami Beach condominium complex?
Yes, gosh.
I've never felt good about them. I have to tell you, I've been a lifelong visitor and now a resident in Florida for many years. And I always thought it was insane to build stuff on, you know, it's like building your fortress on in a swamp, basically.
Right.
It made no sense to me. And that's... it's the analogy to the economy and the global economy totally carries through, and the dollar as well.
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
FPX Nickel is developing the large-scale Dakar Nickel District in central British Columbia. Within the district is FPX Nickel's PEA stage Baptiste Nickel Deposit, which is projected to be among the world's top 10 largest nickel mines by annual output. The Baptiste Deposit has the potential for the lowest quartile operating costs at just $2.74 per pound. And compared to recent global nickel mines, the project requires a low capex. FPX is also commencing its first ever drill program at its Van Target in the Dakar Nickel District. Surface samples have indicated that the Van Target footprint is larger in scale and 10 to 15% higher in grade than Baptiste. FPX Nickel trades in Canada as FPX and on the OTC under FPOCF. To learn more, go to FPXNickel.com. That's FPXNickel.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's for sure. And gosh, not only the loss of life, I mean, crying out loud, what if you had all of your net worth or your retirement tied up in that condo you bought in one of those buildings? Not necessarily even the one that collapsed, but up and down that strip there, you'd be like, oh, man. It is kind of a metaphor for everything, though. You know, you build it all in quicksand. And, you know, if another condo falls down there sometime in the next couple of months or years, I mean, it's going to be a mass exodus. And it's kind of the same way in terms of confidence in the currency and the markets. You know, you get these one-off events that people are like, ah, you can just kind of write that off as big as a thing. But man, all of a sudden, a couple start to occur in a row. And what everybody knew was of shaky foundation in the first place, you just want out right now. It's kind of like this thing I've been railing about all year about unallocated accounts. You know, I mean, which a lot of people own gold there. They think they own gold in some type of certificate program or unallocated account program where you do it that way because, well, you know, I got exposure to price if it goes up and they say I can get my gold in, you know, right away or at least within 90 days if I need it. And so you kind of take the company's word for it. And that's fine as long as everybody's got confidence in it. But when everybody loses confidence all at the same time, you get a bank run and, you know, you're told maybe not even 90 days, you know, and then that's a whole other story. So the whole system exists on confidence. The whole financial system exists on confidence. Currencies exist on confidence. That's all part of why that dollar index I talked about earlier, because when you lose confidence in the currency, the stability, the ability of it to, you know, retain your savings, value of all your hard work, but also buy stuff in the future. When you lose that confidence, then you're in the end game. You know, that's Venezuela, that's Weimar Germany, you know, that's Zimbabwe. And the Fed and the Treasury are fighting hard to maintain confidence now because of, you know, just how dire the budget situation, everything else looks here in the U.S.
Hey, how's this? You know what the root word is, or the root Latin root is of confidence? It's con. And the actual definition of the word con from dictionary.com is to persuade, do, or believe something, typically by use of a deception. I conned him into giving me your home number as an instance of deceiving or tricking someone, con artist, right? So con, you know, the big con is still working.
Yeah.
After all these decades.
I saw somebody tweet this weekend. I shouldn't bring this up without having the source, but somebody said, I'm tired of this U.S. dollar being referred to as a fiat currency as if it has nothing backing it. Wait a second. What is it then? That's exactly what it is. And you know, Kerry, what are we, 6 weeks away from that 50th anniversary, right? That ought to be a big, we ought to all throw a party, sadly, when they were August 15th or whatever that, when Nixon closed the gold window in 71, it's coming up on 50 years. My goodness gracious.
Hey, so it looks like the Basel III gold and all that thus far is a big yawn. It's meant
Hold on. It's a process. That's the problem. You know, I mean, you mentioned right when we started talking, Kerry, about, you know, losing patience and, you know, trying to hang in there because, yeah, we've got all these things that should be making gold go higher and it's not. And that's particularly even more aggravating than it was 5 years ago when we were at 1,200. And so everybody wants to get excited about it. You know, oh, this is going to be the, this is going to be the date. This is the ground shaking that you and I have talked on how many times, Carrie. You don't want to go around predicting the end of the world because it's only going to happen once, right? So everybody always hangs their hat. Oh, June 28th is going to be the date. No, June 28th was a very important date, but it's not, it was never going to be like, oh boy, the whole landscape is going to change. What happened on June 28th is all of the EU-based banks, you know, you can rattle off as many as you want, you know, that you can think of that come to mind, Deutsche Bank, Credit Suisse, UBS, whatever. That was a big date for them and their unallocated, allocated gold and how they operate within the bullion banking system and everything else. The U.S. banks, I found something from the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency. It looked like the U.S. banks had their own set of Basel III restrictions and went in July the 1st. Okay. However, the big date, and if we get there, will be January the 1st. That'll be a much more significant date because that's when it finally impacts the LBMA and all the banks that operate on the LBMA in London. So June 28th was a step in the process, a step that many of us never thought we'd ever get to because, I mean, here's the Bank of International Settlements changing, in a sense, the way gold is priced. And the whole bullion banking system. And why are they doing that? Maybe that's a better question that didn't get asked enough. Why? Rather, because everyone's so focused on the date and, you know, oh boy, we're going to wake up on Monday, June the 28th, you know. No. And we won't wake up on whatever the date is, January 1st, 2022 either. I mean, it's a process. And if we, as we get closer and closer to that date, and that, you know, there's no relief, if you will, for the LBMA from these Basel III things. It's going to be even more volatile over the next 6 months. But it's a process moving toward those dates. It's not just like a date certain thing where all of a sudden everything changes.
Yeah, like you do, turn on the alarm clock goes off and everything is different when you look out right. The window. I never really expected it to, honestly. I just feel like even come January 1, let's see what really happens.
Yeah.
Perception has got to change too.
Exactly. But it's not like these banks, you know, like, for example, what just took place on June the 28th. It's not, that was a Monday. It's not like all the way until 4 o'clock on Friday, June the 25th, the EU-based bullion banks were all like, well, if this is going to be fine. And then all of a sudden on Monday, they're going to change. No, I mean, they're banks. Okay. They're first and foremost, they want to make money, right? And look out for number one. So they've been adjusting and getting ready for this all the way up until, and the same thing will be true for January 1st too. In fact, you know, that big smash we saw that had to do with the dollar spike and the interest on excess reserves and everything else from 3 weeks ago with the FOMC. No doubt in my mind that was helped along by the banks, because as we know, in this current market structure, it's that futures tail pricing that wags the spot dog, right? Spot price moves based on changes in the futures contracts, not the other way around. And so if you've got some spot gold that you need to buy and get allocated and get out from under and cover shorts, doing that at 1780 sure is preferable to 1880, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
And that was auspicious as well.
Right. And it all took place on the quadruple witching hour.
All that too.
Effect, right?
How about that?
Funny how that one works. All those longs just watch the value of their contracts vaporize before their very eyes. And it happens once a quarter, and nobody seems to ever be any the wiser for it.
Yeah. Or the COMEX options that priced shortly thereafter too and went off the board on the 24th of June, you know, 10 days earlier, silver was $28. And if you had some $26 silver calls, you were sitting fat, man. That's 10 grand each. And then magically price collapses and then gets held right at 26. I think we've on June the 24th, I think we settled at 26.05. No, you don't say. Wow, imagine that.
It's like life imitating South Park, and it's gone.
And it's gone.
And it's gone. And never underestimate the power of the big banks.
Right.
They take what appears to be something of value and make it worthless in the blink of an eye. I think we'll leave it at that. Just go over to tfmetalsreport.com, sign up for Craig's site. Best value. Price of Starbucks has gone up, but the price of TF Metals Report has not.
Still $15 a month, my friend. And what is it, 50 cents a day? Look, everybody said, oh, this is so aggravating, blah, blah. You know, I'm sick of this. I'm getting out and all this stuff. Hey, I feel it too, brother. I mean, 10 or 12 years of doing this, you know, I'm ready to chuck it all and go get a job working for Amazon, right? Be a lot less stressful. But I know why. I mean, well, Brett Johnson always says, you know, if you believe in math, you believe in gold, right? And I know what the math is. You know, who knows when that final straw, this collection of events, shake the foundation, all that kind of stuff. And I mean, that's one of the reasons for this Basel III stuff being put in. A guy I know by the name of Tom Luongo was speculating that the only asset the ECB holds is gold. You know, 10,000 tons, maybe the ECB, the only way they can save themselves when all those $9 trillion worth of bonds start to get priced and marked lower, the only way they can save themselves is a higher gold price. I mean, there's all these different things working for us. So now's the time. I mean, again, to still, you don't want to give up. And if anything, Kerry, I know you've always followed this methodology as well. The dollar price changes on a daily basis due to these trading of these contracts, but the value of my metal, man, the actual value of it just goes up every day, you know? And if you measure the value in terms of how many ounces you have rather than the dollar value for what it's designed to do for you long term, then, and again, my metal's more valuable than it's ever been. So we'll keep doing TF Metals Report for as long as we can stand it.
Until you pull all your hair out.
Right, exactly. You can see it's getting pretty gray, man. Same here.
But it's so true. And they're going to play games right to the very end. And even after the end, they'll still be playing games, just they won't work at some point. And I guess like what you're saying with the ECB holding gold, this is James Rickard's contention always, that eventually they're going to reprice gold to deal. Yeah. And then we'll find out the true value of currencies, right?
Right. Yeah, you notice that's one way that it can be measured. You know, and so you're able to contain gold through all of this phony baloney stuff that they do, you know, and believe everybody there's far more gold than there really is through the futures contracts, the unallocated accounts, the ETFs, and all this other jazz. But one day it will become of value to these central banks to have a higher gold price. For now, again, like we said, I mean, the Fed wants to promote this transitory narrative, and a higher gold price doesn't fit into that narrative. One day it will. One day it will.
Agreed. Well, we'll let it go with that. Go over to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Make sure you sign up for your free newsletter. And Craig, always a pleasure. We will talk to you again real soon. Be well.
Okay, my friend. Thanks again.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network. Now, more than ever.